I speak to you in the name of God, Creator, Redeemer, and Sustainer. Amen. I'm a millennial, so my printer isn't working, so I'm preaching from my laptop again. Hope that's okay for everyone that you can see me. This is the second Sunday of Advent. And on the second Sunday of Advent, in the gospel that Danya just read for us, we get a lot of historical details to set the scene for our passage today in Luke. Kind of had a Star Wars theme. A long time ago in a galaxy far, far away, right? A long time ago, in the 15th year of the reign of Emperor Tiberius, when Pontius Pilate was governor of Judea, and Herod was ruler of Galilee, and his brother Philip was ruler of a neighboring land, and a bunch of important men were in charge of a bunch of important things, and the high priests were important, and they had their high priesthood. During this time of all of these important men, the word of God didn't come to any of them. The word of God came to this weird and totally insignificant guy, John. And not while he was on TV or in Parliament or at the temple, but the word of God came to John when he was in the wilderness. And John the Baptist was not who you would expect God's word to come to. Scripture tells us that John ate wild locusts and wore clothes made of camel hair. John ate bugs and had weird clothes. This is the kind of guy that if you were on the bus with him, you would get up and move away from him, okay? The word of God came to that guy. The word of God came to that guy. The Gospel of Luke this morning opens with that long list of names of men that are important to highlight that John the Baptist comes out of nowhere and receives the word out of nowhere. And he calls for more change than anyone in that long list of rulers did. And what he does is more effective than anyone in that long list of rulers. He proclaimed a baptism of repentance for the forgiveness of sins that would prepare the way for the coming Lord. Many people did not take kindly to this message. For lots of them, life was fine as they knew it, and there was no need to change anything. So, of course, many objected to John's teaching. The kind of change that he was calling them to, the kind of change that we hear about in our gospel this morning, is monumental. Mountains and hills made low, valleys lifted up. It was too drastic. No one likes drastic change. We still don't, 2,000 years later. Too much is demanded of us to make these major life changes. So we would rather keep the same old familiar life. Repent? What for? We don't want to make those changes. But just because we don't like it, just because they didn't like it back then, doesn't mean it's not going to happen. And in our text today, we are invited to be part of preparing for it instead of running away from it. One of the scariest invitations in all of our scripture, I think. And when I read this gospel passage, I wonder what it would be like to be under the tyranny of all those important people that Luke listed at the beginning. But then I realize, honestly, we can probably relate, right? There are people and names and countries that are constant figures in our social imagination and in our lives and on our phones and in the news. Their presence and their power feel inescapable. If I gave you a minute right now, you could probably all list 5 or 10 that come to mind right away. Whether we like them or not, we know who the major players are. We know who have the power and the money. And we often feel pretty ineffectual against them. Or at least I do. And so then, what would it feel like for us to realize that God's word came and God's word didn't come to any of them? God's word came to the dude in Nathan Phillips Square with the megaphone and the sign that says, Jesus is coming, look busy, okay? That's how radical this message is. And that is what we celebrate today on the second Sunday of Advent. Jesus came into a world, into our world, in a completely ordinary and extraordinary way. Rooted in history and in the same old stories that we are still telling 2,000 years later, but by using unexpected people, in unexpected places, breaking all the rules and changing everything we thought we knew. So in remembering John the Baptist's story today, we have one foot in the ordinary and one foot in the extraordinary. John is saying something new is coming, but it's not here yet. John is saying something old is passing away, but it's not gone yet. The turmoil and the suffering and the pain and the oppression, it will be turned upside down. And all flesh shall see the salvation of our God. Today we are invited to stand on the shores of the Jordan River with John the Baptist and be part of it, and be changed and be redeemed. Come, be part of it. Come, admit that you need it. Prepare for it, turn to it. Make the way clear and the road smooth. That is the invitation. I'm always struck by how relevant this ancient text is to us 2,000 years later. Truly, if you're ever bored reading the Bible, you're not actually reading the Bible, okay? It's so interesting and so intricate, and it speaks to us even today. And this passage today in particular spoke to me in our context, because more than ever, it's clear to me that we live in Advent times. We live in times when we are waiting and we are longing for a light to come and banish the sorrow we see all around us. That is what Advent is, waiting and longing and knowing and trusting that God will come. Despair will be banished, sorrow will be killed, things will be made new. To quote the theologian Nadia Bolz Weber, she wrote, "If we think about it, the Christ child on whom we wait would be born in a land controlled by an empire that he was not a member of. He would be born in the midst of a system where the protection received from the powers that be were enjoyed by some citizens, but not by others. Certainly not by his mother, Mary, a homeless, unwed, pregnant teenager. And when Jesus was born, it was such a threat to those powers that Herod slaughtered the children to and under in all the region just to try to wipe out the Prince of Peace. Those who were not protected by the system lost their babies. And in our society, the infant mortality rate for children not protected by the system is 2.5 times higher than others. So all of that is to say, we are living in Advent times, because when God came to us in Emmanuel, God chose to enter a time as violent and as faithless as our own. Jesus came to save sinners right smack in the middle of the mess that they've made." That's Nadia Bolz Weber, and I tend to agree with her on most things. I agree that we are living in a time similar to those who first met Christ, under an empire that does not serve God. And maybe we need someone shocking, like the bug-eating, wild-haired, weirdly clothed John the Baptist, to come tell us that we cannot remain the same if we want to see change. John calls us to prepare for Christ's birth. But how? He calls us to repentance. It's not through decorating a Christmas tree, although that's a lovely thing to do. It's not through elaborate Advent calendars or through Black Friday shopping. We are preparing for Christ's birth through repentance and being changed. And in doing this, we are admitting that we need Jesus and we long for him to come and dwell amongst us. I know repentance is a big, scary word, and for a long time it made me feel tight across my throat and sick to my stomach. But I want to be clear, repentance is not about feeling bad, or about shame, or about punishment. It's about freedom from your own guilt and your own problems and your own hang-ups by laying them all down and turning back to God. It's about being changed. To be an Advent people is to be those for whom an opportunity to lay down their guilt is heard as good news. Because the repentance that John preaches is not about feeling bad. Feeling bad is easy. Repentance is about change. So that's where we are this week. It's an interesting Sunday in the life of our church because it keeps us in limbo a little bit. Maybe you find that irritating, or maybe it could be a gift. Maybe it's a welcome break as we barrel towards the stress and the commotion of the Christmas holiday. Today, even if it's just for a few hours, I encourage you to dwell in this liminal time and think about how you can participate in the coming of God into this world. How can you participate in the expectant waiting of the Advent season? Another theologian, Cole Arthur Riley, she says, "I do not want to come into the promised land if it means forgetting the wilderness." Advent is a time to remember the wilderness, to see what similarities these ancient stories have to our modern day, and to cry out for our desire to see the valleys made level with the mountains, and to make room for all those who are proclaiming the way of the Lord, even the weird ones that eat bugs. Amen.